to Messianic Perspective with Deacon Joy Silverman. Join Deacon Joy as they minister in song and in the Word. Now get ready to worship the Lord with the Silvermans.
This is Deke Silverman. God bless. I start off each show by saying I'm a Messianic Jewish brother, originally from the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. My father's family were Orthodox Jewish people from Russia. I never heard the phrase born again till I was 20 years old. Couldn't wait to hear about Jesus, the Son of God. They showed me scripturally where he was, the Messiah. Found a good born-again, spirit-filled church and went off to Bible school a year later. God bless. Met my wife in Jewish ministry, and we travel, do the Messianic music. It's taken from that Israeli sound, taken from Scripture. Glory to God. And I like to bring out the Jewish roots of both the Old and New Testament. And today, I have something special. You're going to learn things about Thanksgiving. The origination of Thanksgiving you've never heard before, some of which were not allowed in public school books. But I'm going to start right off with Isaiah 61. The man who wrote this song is a born-again rabbi, had a congregation of Jewish people that found Jesus as their Messiah. It's an Israeli-type praise melody. The verses, everything's in English. The chorus is taken from Isaiah 61, the first two verses. Beauty for ashes.
Thank you.
as this interlude plays. Wherever you're watching, just lift a hand toward heaven and look up to heaven. Praise the Lord for your miracle. This is the beginning of November. It's Thanksgiving time. I'm excited to share with you the roots and depth of the original Thanksgiving. When the pilgrims landed in America, all around the New England area, New England states, they made peace with the Native Americans, and they shared that first Thanksgiving. They decided to share it because the pilgrims were very Bible-centered and organized people. They knew the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, and they knew the seven feasts in the Old Testament. Sometime in the future, I'm going to be teaching on the seven feasts because all seven feasts prophesied Christ and the church very vividly. The parallels are supernatural, but I'm going to concentrate on one now, the last feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and how it affected that first Thanksgiving, glory to God, with the pilgrims and the Native Americans. Scriptures they stood on. The first verse of Psalm 107 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." That's something to say amen about. "And his mercy endures forever." In the same chapter, in the 21st verse, it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." These are some of the scriptures they praised God about. The pilgrims made it safely. They lost a good many people on the trip. They wanted nothing but to present the presence of God in a love and giving fashion. Did you ever wonder why turkey has been the main meal throughout all the decades and centuries? It's simply because the native bird in America was turkey. Chickens didn't exist in the Western Hemisphere. They're from the Eastern Hemisphere. The British brought them over by the thousands, and that's why we have chickens to this day. But turkey was native to North America. And they wanted to use a native bird to celebrate. The facts were coming together. We're not going to fight. We're going to share. Oh, hallelujah. Again, verse 21. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 22. "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." What that simply means is you praise God even when you don't feel like it. He is your Savior, your miracle worker. He's everything you need. He is the one you give praise to. "Well, you don't know what I'm going through, but I know God's word. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you." I know 1 John 4:4 says, "The greater one lives in you. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. Hallelujah. Verse 21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. I wanted to repeat that. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. And 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Standing on those two scriptures and many more, but they concentrated on those because they wanted the Native Americans to know the absolute goodness of God, to know his miracle working power. Glory to God, glory to God. He is so good. He is so good. That's why it lasted so long. The Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh and last feast of the year. The first four feasts take place in the springtime, starting with Passover, ending with Pentecost. And I'm going to come back in some future lessons and bring all of those out to you and show you how they were filled supernaturally in the New Testament. The fall feasts start with Rosh Hashanah, usually around mid to late September, early October, a feast that parallels the rapture. I don't have time to explain it all now, but it's supernatural. It is believed somewhere around that time of the year the rapture will take place. Then 10 days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. I'll just give you a brief understanding of it. That was the day the high priest, the only person that could do it, went in to the Holy of Holies. And this is true. If he didn't have every sin confessed, he dropped dead right then. There was a rope around him and they had to pull him back out with bells so they'd know he fell down. And they'd have to wait another year to get their sins covered. The Old Testament, you got your sins covered by the blood of the Lamb. That holiest day, he had two vials of blood from a spotless lamb, and he poured one over the altar for his own sins and then one for the sins of the children of Israel. And then 5 days later is the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, how the pilgrims demonstrated it to the Native Americans. It lasts for 7 days with an extra eighth day. All the flock is in. All the crops are in. The harvest has been full. The barns are full. When Israel walked with God, they were the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. Everybody had to come to Jerusalem. And for 7 days, you had to do two things. Number one, you had to praise God three times in the temple. Teaching this, the pilgrims wanted the Native Americans to realize, we're going to stop. We're going to wake up and praise God. We're going to have our Thanksgiving meal and praise God. And when we're done eating, we're going to get together. You and I call it fellowship. Share with one another, learn each other's language, and praise God. That's the way it was done in the last feast, the last celebration. Let me tell you more about this. Praise God. The spiritual significance is, yes, you had to praise God three times in the temple. And the other thing you had to do was feast. They had the greatest original buffet in history. There was food galore. And they wanted you to feast and have such a great, great day. And then in the great day of the feast is that last day of the feast. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where they would come together and give God the glory. In the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, you're going to love this. This is something you don't hear that often. Verse 37 sounds like a jet, 737. It was the last great day of the year. Let me tell you what happens all week during the Feast of Tabernacles. The high priest would lead them in worship. And then when he gave the nod, a priest with a large bucket would go down to the pool of Siloam. That's the one that was touched by an angel and people would get healed. As you read about in scripture, they believed all year though it was holy water, and they'd fill it up with that fresh water, come back. And when that priest came back, at the other side of the high priest was another priest with an identical vessel filled with the latest fermented wine, used not to drink, but for this purpose. And together they would pour the water and the wine at the foot of the altar. And they had irrigation where it would flow down under the tabernacle, these gallons, and go into the Kedron Lake and Valley and just swarm all over. And they would shout and praise God. And they'd shout and praise God. But on the seventh day, the last day of the feast, something special would happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only would they pour the water and the wine and shout and praise God, but they would praise God for a couple things. Number one, thank you, Father, for sending rain on our crops next year. And they always prayed for the Gentile nations. Oh, we pray fresh rain all during the harvest and before the harvest for the Gentile nations. And then they would thank and praise God for sending Messiah someday. Sending Messiah. That was called the great day of the feast. It was on that day Jesus took charge, went up to the altar, and gave a message. That message is in the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, the 37th verse. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. You see, that was the third thing they prayed for. Quench our thirst and quench our spiritual thirst, Father. Hallelujah. That's why I wanted to save it for now. Please quench our thirst. Jesus answered them. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Some believed, a whole lot did. Some thought he was crazy and wanted to kill him. But he was saying, you're celebrating this great day of the feast. You're praising God for sending Messiah. Friends, relatives, brothers and sisters, he was trying to get across to them, that Messiah is me. And he was prophesying, when I get resurrected and sit at the right hand of the Father, we will send the Holy Spirit to be poured out on every one of you. And your spiritual thirst will be quenched. This was taught to the Native Americans. This was taught showing them. The one you've been praising is the Creator. And His Son is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why more and more, as history said, Native Americans came to hear this. That first Thanksgiving went on for weeks. They didn't just have turkey. They had deer. They had all kinds of wild meat. And they praised God every day. Just like in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. Start the day praising. Praising Him in the temple. Praising Him during the meals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I love the fact amidst all this splendor and the brilliant lights in the temple, Jesus stood and proclaimed, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. People say, what else does the Feast of Tabernacles represent? Jesus will be our shelter with His presence and power throughout all eternity. His great tabernacle to exist in Jerusalem in the kingdom age. All the world every year will present themselves, both saved Jews and Gentiles. I do want to add this. After those seven days, there was an eighth day. It was a special day called Simchat Torah. simply meaning praising the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to share, every time I share about the Feast of Tabernacles, within a few weeks I'll be sharing on the birth of Christ and the true history behind it. The Dead Sea Scrolls were put together by a group called the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S. They formed 200 years, and I'll bring this out again in my Christmas message in a few weeks. They formed 200 years before Christ was born. They felt like the rest of Israel was backslidden and in sin. So a large group of them moved out into the desert. They had all the water they needed from the Mediterranean Sea. They themselves dug a tributary where they had 1,000 gallons of water at least every day. They grew their own crops. They had their own sheep, their own cattle, everything like this. They're the ones they wrote that God told them to copy every scripture in the Old Testament in the ancient biblical Hebrew. And they did that. There's another teaching on that. Praise God. And they were the first ones on the face of the earth to take the messianic prophecies and put them into two columns, showing the same Messiah would come twice. They did this 150 years before Jesus was born. And I got to tell you this, they gave a Hebrew name for each advent of the Messiah. Later I'll tell you the Hebrew name, but I'll right now just give it to you in English, the translation. When he would come the second time, reign like a king, they called him, it translates in English, Messiah, son of David. Very simple. Why? Hey, he's going to reign like David the king. But when he would come the first time, and remember they wrote this 150 years before Jesus was born. When he would come the first time, they called him, and it translates in English, Messiah, son of Joseph. Well, did they know that his foster father would be Joseph? They probably did, but there was other reasons I don't have time to explain. But they did say they felt they knew the day the Messiah would be born. It would be the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that great day of the feast, the very day Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. People in the synagogue, every Israelite here, Israel, that's celebrating this holy feast, the last feast of the year, you got to understand, not only am I the Messiah, but hallelujah, you have thirst spiritually, physically, come to me. Because the day's going to come again, as I repeated before, I'm going to be with the Father. And I'm going to sit with him resurrected from the dead. And the Holy Spirit will be poured out, quenching your thirst. God bless. My wife and I travel full time all over the country. We've been to 15 countries. If you want us to be at your church, your fellowship, whatever group it is, I'd be more than glad to come to wherever you are in this country or beyond, and share and bring the messianic music and share what God is doing and share the precious feasts of the Lord. I want to thank you so very much. God bless you. Contact me with the information you have in front of you. Thank you so much for watching the show today. Praise God. And I pray it ministered to you. I was talking about the book, Meditating on God's Word for Victory. Our address is coming up now. If you're making out any check, or if you want to give, because we've been supporting missions in Israel for over 30 years, for over 8 years, besides supporting the messianic works, we've been feeding Holocaust survivors. We need a miracle financially. Praise God. Just make the check out to our ministry, Psalms of David. There's the address. There's the phone number. If you have any Jewish questions, give me a call. It was an honor, and I'll be coming back next week with another word to bless you. God bless. I want my people will see me. I want my people.
calling it back.